Turning your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to look at the first two verses of that chapter. And I'll read the first one if you'll then join me on the second verse of 1 Timothy chapter number 2 there. Let's all stand. First Timothy chapter number 2, and I'll begin verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we do want to come and we want to thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, as we sang earlier tonight, thank you so much for the cross and what that means to us as Christians. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in heaven. And Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather together and to open your word. Lord, in a free country, thank you so much for what you've blessed us with so far. And I pray that you please be with the time that we have tonight. Speak to hearts, be with the special music, prepare our hearts, please, through it. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
There's a book that I read, so faded and old, and there on its pages the sweetest story ever told. Down through the sands of time, it has told of love divine. Oh, I thank God I heard that story of Jesus and His glory. And by His grace, I've been set free. For I've been purchased with blood. My sins were washed in that flood. He is true and faithful, the beginning and the end. And someday I'll see the heavens open, and there He'll be the King of Kings, for I've been purchased with blood. From heaven to earth it came, and it's always been the same. Kept by God in purity, holy words for all to see. From Tyndale Huss and many more, in every land, on every shore, though against it hell rages, it still stands through the ages, a rock undaunted eternally. It was purchased with blood. Each page is stained in that flood. They were faithful unto death, caring not for life itself. And someday they'll see the heavens open, and there He'll be the King of Kings, for they've been purchased with blood. So, brother, take a stand with a King James Bible in your hand. Just stand up tall for what is right. Never falter in the fight. And someday you'll hear, well done, when the victory is won. Oh, lift your eyes toward heaven and listen for the trumpet. It'll be worth it all when Jesus comes. For you've been purchased with blood. Your sins were washed in that flood. He is true and faithful, the beginning and the end. And someday you'll see the heavens open. open, and there he'll be, the King of Kings, for you've been purchased with blood. And there he'll be, the King of Kings, for you've been purchased with blood.
Great song. Amen. I like that, Brother Dave. Thank you very much. All right, this will not be preaching tonight. This is just going to be me kind of sharing a little bit of my heart and some research. And I'm sure you've done some on your own. And I said this morning I was going to speak about the general election, say a few comments about it. It's 3 weeks from Tuesday, and so we'll do that tonight. Let's have that middle light, the center light cut off, fellas. And listen, during the opening song, we don't see it on the platform, but during the opening song, you saw people scrambling. Somebody was shooting a laser light up here. That's not a smart thing to do. There's some kid playing around. They put laser lights on pistols to aim, to shoot people. And when there's a laser light bouncing around up here, our guys were scrambling, and thank you for doing that. I suppose that's what you were looking for. I suppose that's what you guys were scrambling for. And that's what they're in place for. So I don't know if it was just an accident or if somebody was doing it on purpose, but don't be playing around with a laser. That's not smart. Okay? That puts everybody on edge because that's what they use to aim and shoot people. Okay? Works real good. Amen. And so I don't know how many of you saw that. We're up here. We didn't see it. But I saw everybody looking around thinking, man, what is going on? But anyway, somebody told me that. But I have a laser, and I'm not going to shine it towards you. I'm going to shine it right here, okay? And all right, let's pray together tonight. Father, we are a country. Our country is in a mess. We need divine intervention, divine help. I don't know what your plan is for America. I know what you can do. I would never want to say that God could not send revival. I would never want to say that, God. I would not want to put you in a box. I would not want to limit you. But I do not know what your plan is. I don't know what your sovereign plan and will is for this country. And so that's why I'm praying every day, your will be done. I pray for your will be done, your will to be done in this election. And Lord, we must move ahead and do what we all feel is right and proper. And so I pray that you'll help me tonight, Lord, just to say some things that might be of a help to somebody who's searching. Maybe some of these things will be a guiding factor in their decision on election day. Help our country. We're in desperate, desperate need. We need something from heaven. We really do. So be with us, I pray. Help me tonight in Jesus' name and amen. Let me say at the outset here that I'm embarrassed as an American to have the two candidates that we have running for the highest office in the land. I'm embarrassed. I feel like the world must be laughing at us. If that's the best our country has to offer for public office, the highest office in the land, we're in a world of trouble. Unfortunately, the best people don't always make it to the finish line. And so I'm embarrassed about it. To me, it's disgusting. To me, I have not watched a debate. I will not watch a debate. I just can't listen to either one of those candidates. I read some things, and part of what we will look at tonight is just a summary of Chuck Harding's Awake America. And then also Rick Flanders did something that I thought was very helpful. And also the One Nation Under God Foundation. And there's other organizations that have been helpful in contrasting the parties and their platforms and so forth. And so some of that we will refer to tonight. But let me just say here, first of all, that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, you know, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then the first group of men that he listed was kings and for all that are in authority. Isn't that amazing? And then he wrote that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I would take that to mean all of our government officials, and I would take that to mean our men in blue, the police officers. I don't know if it's on the information board yet, but we had a display, or we had a sign on our display board out here 2 or 3 weeks ago thanking Chief Phelps and the police officers for their faithful service to our community. And the mayor, Paul Shore, wrote me a letter and thanked me for putting that on the signboard. And he said, you know, appreciate support for our men in blue. I would believe that all that are in authority would be a part of the police force in our community. I don't know how it's possible to lead a quiet and peaceable life without a well-supported police force. Unfortunately, we've had a government that is chopping their feet out from underneath them. And so, the role of government is to create an environment where people are able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. And we have anything but that in our society today. Anything but that. And so our government has failed. And it's supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. I'm not sure that it's reaching to that extent. This is not accomplished by an overreaching, ever expanding government. I read where 90% of the policies that are being enacted today are being done by government organizations. They're not passed by Congress. They're not signed by the president. They're not something that's a Supreme Court. They're just the overreaching tentacles of an ever-expanding federal government, which is not what our forefathers ever wanted for this country. They wanted states' rights. They did not. They thought the horrible thing that could happen was for some federal government to get all power. In fact, one branch of that government to take it into his own hands, like we've seen too often these past several years. Look over at Romans chapter 13 with me. Romans chapter 13. And verses 3 and 4. Romans 13 is another important passage in the New Testament when it comes to authority. And I think government authority, okay? And God did ordain and institute government all the way back in the book of Genesis after they came off the ark. And the first thing that He instituted was the death penalty. He said, if man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed. First thing they established. All right, now look at verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Do you see what's supposed to happen? If you do good, you're supposed to be praised by the authorities. That's what's supposed to happen. All right? For he is the minister of God to thee for good, verse 4. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The government should do two things, protect the good and punish the evil. Protect the good, punish the evil. And in that doing that, they help us lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, obviously, things are not going well here in our country. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight about our responsibility. I know that, let me say it at the beginning, and I'm going to be a little bit scattered tonight. Bear with me, okay? Let me say at the beginning that if you are of the no vote persuasion right now, I do not throw you under the bus, because I want to tell you something. I'm very tempted to do the same thing. I'm very tempted to do the same thing. It galls me. It galls me to have to vote for either one of these candidates. I'm sorry, it just does. Now, if you're pro one or the other, that's your opinion. Some of what I'm going to say tonight is not supported by the Scripture. It's just my opinion. All right? You can't sell potatoes on your opinion. But since I'm the man chosen to speak behind the pulpit in the services, it galls me to go to the poll and pull a lever for either candidate. And if you're of the no vote persuasion, I feel with you. I'm not sure that's the wisest thing to do. I'm not sure that's the wisest thing to do. I'm not sure sitting out is the wisest thing to do. I'll just say it that way. All right? But I'm not, you know, if you feel that way, I understand. I understand. It's sickening. Part of me wants to vote one way just to stick it to the mainstream media. I don't know that we've ever had an election where the media has been more openly biased, in your face, one side against the other than they've been this general election. Mr. Trump is a disgusting man. I'm sorry. He's a vile man. He's unsaved. But I don't believe All these women who are coming out of the closet years and years ago now, I don't believe that, but the media wouldn't have you think for a minute that they were doing anything but telling the truth. Maybe they are, some of them, but it's just fishy to me. When is the last election that the conservative candidate, that the liberal candidate, ever was called into question? Mitt Romney was called into question 4 years ago. It's never the conservative. It's always the conservative. It's never the liberal candidate. The mainline media, both radio, and I have not watched it. I've not watched the debates. I understand that the first debate was hosted by Lester Holt, who was just obviously biased in his approach to the questioning. I'm not saying Trump is right or wrong. I'm just saying it's wrong when you can't get a fair approach from the mainline media. It's wrong. And so part of me wants to just stick it to the media. But anyway, what I want to show you first of all tonight, and I won't be long on this because I don't feel like there's an issue here, at least in this church, about whether to vote conservative or liberal. My fear is not that people are going to go out and vote for the liberal party. But just in case, I just want you to compare the party platforms. Okay? The party platforms, all right? So, Scott, if you'll please put that on the screen. And I've got three different sheets here. You probably can't read this. Scroll down just a little bit. This is Brother Chuck Harding's ministry, Awake America. And they did a comparison of the two platforms, the Republican or conservative platform and the Democratic platform. Chuck told me, Brother Harding told me in Michigan three weeks ago, he said, Brother, he said the Republican Party platform is as conservative as it has ever been for the conservative people this year. All right, scroll up just a little higher. There's a comparison here on the subject of life. You can't read all of this. So I'm not going to read every word of it because we'd be here too long. But this is on the subject of human life. The Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justice. We believe unequivocally that every woman should have access to quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. That's their platform. Over here on the Republican side, the Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence's proclamation that all are endowed by their Creator with the inalienable right to life. Accordingly, we assert the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. So there's an obvious difference here between the two platforms, not just the candidates, but the two platforms on the matter of human life or abortion. The second category you see right here is that of Planned Parenthood. I don't know how any person can read what transpired earlier this year with Planned Parenthood and beef on a platform that supports Planned Parenthood. They were caught on tape. Caught red-handed. Okay? And so basically, the Republican or conservative platform opposes organizations like Planned Parenthood. They oppose the use of public funds, which means some of our tax dollars go to support public Planned Parenthood. They oppose that, while the Democrats support Planned Parenthood, and they want to enhance their organization and their health centers, which they say provide critical health services to millions of people. Of course, they don't talk about selling body parts of aborted fetuses for money. Folks, some people, those people ought to be in jail. They ought to be in jail. Now, I can't help if I can't tell you who to vote for, but how I believe kind of leaks out tonight, I can't help that, okay? Scroll up a little bit, Brother Scott. Judges. Just a little bit there. The next subject was the subject of judges. And by the way, let me read here. I wanted to elaborate a little bit here. This is the... let me see here. I think I read that okay. Okay, I already read that. Okay, no. The Democratic Party candidate says, quote, "As president, I'll stand up for Planned Parenthood and woman's access to critical health services, including safe and legal abortion. And this is what she said about abortion. Quote, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. Let's talk about us. It's outrageous, she said, to be denied a wedding cake for being gay. What's outrageous is forcing a small business to provide one for somebody who's gay. Federal government is overreaching its power when it does that, okay? But anyway, so you kind of know where they are. Now is on the subject of marriage. I don't think I have to elaborate on this. You know that the Conservative Party, the Republican Party platform, says we condemn the Supreme Court's ruling that basically overturned and the definition of marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Foremost is the American family. It is the foundation of civil society. And the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Now, folks, that's written into the platform. Does every Republican candidate believe that? Probably not. But the majority of them do, to the place where it's written into the Republican Party platform. Now, on the Democratic side, Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. By the way, folks, LGBT is repeated. Take some time and look up the Democrat Party platform. They are repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again all through that party platform. That's what they're after, okay? We applaud that decision that they have the right to marry the person they love, but there's still much work to be done. We will oppose all state efforts to discriminate against LGBT individuals, including legislation that restricts the right to access public spaces. I don't think I have to elaborate any more on that for you. When it comes to the subject of marriage, there is a conservative platform and there is a liberal platform. One of those is biblical and one of those is not. All right? Medical research, that's all that stem cell stuff. I won't go into that, and I won't go into the final category there. Let's go on. This is on the subjects of liberty. If you'll scroll up, Brother Scott, on the subject of liberty here, okay? Now, religious liberty, and by the way, folks, that's very important. That's the fight that Brother Oswardi is having in Russia right now. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we will Skype with Brother Oswardi live in the service, and he will speak to us, bring us up to date on what he's going through and the things that are on the horizon. That's next Sunday night, Lord willing, in the evening service. When it comes to religious liberty, we value the right of America's religious leaders to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. Republicans believe the federal government, specifically the IRS, is constitutionally prohibited from policing or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs. Now, over here, there's an opposite approach, okay? And Democrats know that our nation, our communities, and our lives are made vastly stronger and richer by faith in many forms and the countless acts of justice, mercy, and tolerance it inspires. But it's unbelievable how intolerant they are of Christians who speak up for what they believe, okay? So some of that's just a bunch of junk. All right, now, the Second Amendment, which is the amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. The Republican Party platform upholds the right of individuals to keep and bear arms as a natural, inalienable right that predates the Constitution, secured by the Second Amendment. Lawful gun ownership enables Americans to exercise their God-given right of self-defense for the safety of their homes, their loved ones, their communities. Democrats believe that we must finally take sensible action to address gun violence. There never has been a violent gun. Guns are not violent. People are violent. The problem is not the gun. The problem is the person. They just released John Hinckley from jail. Did you see that? Just released John Hinckley from jail, the guy who tried to assassinate President Reagan. Just released him. If they had taken John Hinckley, who was seen on film and by people with a gun in his hand trying to assassinate the President of the United States, if they had taken him, whatever day that was, if it happened on a Monday, if they had taken him on Tuesday, live television, and hung him by his neck, that would curb violence. It's not the gun that's violent. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Liberal philosophy has brainwashed even Christian people. You think the problem is the gun? Come on. You think this is a violent thing, this microphone? Well, I could take this in a rage and smack one of these boys in the face with it. Then I guess we better do something to curb violent microphones. It's silly. Anyway, I don't think I have to elaborate on that, okay? One party is for it, one party is against it, one platform is for it, one platform is against it. Scroll up a little bit, please. On the subject of a strong military, the Republican Party is committed to rebuilding the U.S. military into the strongest on earth, with vast superiority over any other nation or group of nations in the world. We face a dangerous world. We believe in a resurgent America. Have you kept up with all of this recent stuff off the coast of Yemen over there? They fired on our Navy. What are we doing? I know we shot back. But they're not afraid of us anymore, folks. They're not afraid of us. Okay? And so they're rebuilding the strong military. They would like to do the same thing, but they're more concerned that there's, that the LGBT veterans and those who are serving now are not discriminated against because of their sexual orientation. They're more concerned about that than having a strong military. Okay? They're more concerned about, we are also proud of the opening of combat positions to women. This is not a slight against women. That is, combat is no place for a woman. You should get the book, Women in the Military. Brother Mick's dad gave it to me years ago. Get the book and read it. It has done nothing but weaken our military. And men who were far more qualified were passed over for positions of leadership because they had to promote women. We don't even have the most qualified people serving in our military because of affirmative action. All those things. And they're more concerned about that. Our military is strongest when people of all races, religions, sexual orientations, and gender identities are honored for their service to our country. Really? You guys that served on those little close submarines, those guys that couldn't decide if they were male or female. Today they're male, tomorrow they're female. That's going to help our military. I'd put them in one of those torpedo tubes and shot them out into the ocean. Poof! That's incredible. You know what, folks, really, let me ask you a question. Isn't it almost sad that we have to even take time to do this stuff? Nuclear agreement with Iran. We consider the administration's deal with Iran to make hundreds of billions of dollars available to the mullahs, the Muslims, secretly. A personal agreement between the president and his negotiating partners as non-binding on the next president. In other words, that agreement, whoever the next president can shoot that agreement to pieces. And it ought to be shot to pieces, okay? Because of it, the defiant and emboldened regime in Tehran continues to support terrorism across the region, develop a nuclear weapon, test fire ballistic missiles, inscribed with death to Israel. A Republican president will not be bound by that agreement. Amen. We support the nuclear agreement with Iran because it is vigorously enforced. You've got to be kidding me. And implemented, it verifiably cuts off all of Iran's pathways to a bomb without resorting to war. We sat at a table and ate mints and shook hands and we came to an agreement. We agreed. Sickening. Right? Support for Israel. Keep on down, Brother Now, immigration and trade, right in here. I'm not going to read this immigration and trade, but I want to read to you from this page right here. I want to read to you our, let's see here. All right, let me find the right page. Okay. About law enforcement. Here is a quote from the Democrat Party platform about law enforcement. Quote, "We will work with police chiefs to invest in training for officers on issues such as de-escalation and the creation of national guidelines." Folks, when police have to go by national guidelines, you don't have a local police department. "National guidelines for the appropriate use of force. We will encourage better police-community relations, require the use of body cameras, and stop the use of weapons of war that have no place in our communities. We will end racial profiling in your dreams that targets individuals solely on the basis of race, religion, ethnicity, or national origin, which is un-American and counterproductive. We should report national data." You keep hearing the wording here? "National data on policing strategies and provide greater transparency and accountability. We will require the Department of Justice to investigate all questionable or suspicious police-involved shootings. And we will support states and localities who will help make those investigations and prosecutions more transparent." And on and on. Now, let me ask you a question. From all that I read, that's a quote from their party platform, who are they putting the burden on? Who are they saying is the problem? The police. That's what they're saying. That the problem is the police. It's a totally different approach than what the Conservative Party platform takes. Okay? So I wanted to read that to you. Then, down a little further, about vetting refugees. Vetting refugees right here. "To ensure our national security, refugees who cannot be carefully vetted cannot be admitted to the country, especially those whose homelands have been the breeding grounds for terrorism. To keep our people safe, we must secure our borders, enforce our immigration laws. Given the immense scale of human suffering in Syria, it is also imperative that we lead the international community in providing greater humanitarian assistance to the civilian victims of war in Syria and Iraq, especially displaced refugees. We support President Obama's call for an international summit to address this crisis so that every country assumes its responsibility to meet this humanitarian challenge." In other words, let the Muslims in everywhere. That's the difference right there. Let me read to you about economy. Let me read to you about the economy from this page right here. All right? Just one portion of something on the economy. The Democratic Party, the platform says this: "Democrats believe that today's extreme levels of income and wealth inequality are bad for our people, bad for our business, and bad for our economy. Democrats believe that in America, if you want a higher education, you should always be able to get one. Money should never stand in the way. Cost should not be a barrier to getting a degree or credential, and debt should not hold you back after you graduate. Democrats are unified in their strong belief that every student should be able to go to college debt-free, and working families should not have to pay any tuition to go to public colleges and universities. We have a $19 trillion debt now. Who's going to pay for all that? You checked out the salaries of the professors at these state universities? They're not teaching for $35,000, folks. Who's going to pay for all that? Every child in America goes to school free. Free. Listen, they're whoring around and living like animals right now while they pay. What do you think they're going to do when it's free? I could read more to you about health care. The Democrat Party is for expanding the Obamacare The Republican Party is for getting it back under control and limiting it and so forth. Education, let's see. I'd already read about education. Valued principles. We affirm the Constitution's fundamental principles. Limited government, separation of powers, individual liberty, and the rule of law. We support the public display of the Ten Commandments as a reflection of our history and our country's Judeo-Christian heritage. And further affirm the rights of religious students to engage in voluntary prayer at public school events and to have equal access to school facilities. Our values of inclusion and tolerance inspire hope around the world and make us safer at home. That is why we will promote peace building, protect democracy, and champion human rights defenders. And we will seek to safeguard vulnerable minorities, including LGBT people and people with this and so forth and so on. Quite a difference there. On the pursuit of happiness, this is on the subject of climate change, Obamacare, natural resources. You know what? Enough is enough on that. I will just say this on this, folks. You may find, and you can shut that, Brother Stone, you may find both candidates disgusting, but one of those candidates is going to represent those conservative party platform ideals and principles, and the other one is not. Now, that's all there is to it, whether you like the person or not. Okay? But that's not, my fear is not that everybody here is going to vote for the Liberal Party platform. I'm concerned that many will not vote. I'm concerned that many or some will vote for a candidate that has no chance of winning. People, we had our chance to vote for the one we wanted. It's called primary elections. We had our chance. When the primary started, I voiced my disapproval of Mr. Trump at the very beginning. It galled me that leading Christian institutions supported him. But my candidate did not come out of the primary. My candidate didn't come out of the primary. You want me to jump out of the race now? You want me to sit out? Because my guy didn't win? You mean to write in a candidate? Folks, have you done any research on third-party candidates? In 1992, Ross Perot ran as an independent candidate. The Democratic candidate was Bill Clinton. The Republican candidate was the incumbent President George H. Bush. Dad Bush. Bill Clinton won the election with 43% of the vote. That's not even a majority. George Bush had 37%. Ross Perot had 19%. He secured a greater percentage of votes than any other third-party candidate except for our first president, George Washington, who was elected as an independent candidate. Ross Perot did not win any electoral votes. When he got 19% of the vote, he didn't win any electoral, he didn't win a state. I didn't do the research. I don't know. But if there had been a two-party system like was designed in this country, maybe that election would have gone different. I don't know. So I'd be very careful. I'm not saying that you're wrong in feeling that way. I'm just not sure it's the wisest thing to do. Now, let me show you, if you're planning on not voting, I just don't agree with the whole cotton-picking system. I'm with you. The whole thing. But let me show you something here. Look at Matthew chapter 22, chapter 17. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And look at verse number 24. I'll be done here in just a little bit. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" You know what tribute is, right? Tax. He, Peter, saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, or approached him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." Interpret that. Who pays the tax, the citizens or the foreigners? That's what Jesus asked him. And Peter said, "The strangers." And Jesus said, "Then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first opened, first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me." And did Jesus pay tax? Was he for it? Did he think it was right? Did he pay it? Now, it would be nice if you and I had the same supernatural ability to go catch a fish. And by the way, I did want to read this. Another comparison on taxation and competitive America. American businesses now face the world's highest corporate tax rates. We propose, this is the Republican Party, we propose to level the international playing field by lowering the corporate tax rate to be on par with or below the rates of other industrial nations. Here's the Democrats. We believe the wealthiest Americans and largest corporations must pay their fair share of taxes. They already are. Do your research. Most of middle class America doesn't pay tax. Read the statistics. It's astounding. It's astounding. Jesus was not for tax. He thought the system was wrong. He said they should have. Jesus believed that the citizens of Israel should not have paid tax. It should have been the foreigners. But he said, "You know what, Peter? I'm not going to offend them. I'm here. Go down to the sea, catch a fish. Pay the tax for me and for thee." Look at chapter 22. Look at chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And look at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 24. No, that's not right. Chapter 22, verse number 17. I'm sorry, verse number 17. "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou?" They're saying to Jesus. "Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. I think our Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ was not for the way they paid their tax, but he paid it. He paid it. Maybe you're not for just a two-party system, but that's what our country is. That's how we've done it. I would think twice about sitting it out. I would think twice about sitting it out. I empathize with people who say, "My own mother told me last night, Harry, I don't know, I'm just thinking about sitting this one out." I don't blame her. But then she said that that's not the wisest thing to do. I said, "Mom, you're right. Be careful about sitting it out." I was on the phone this morning and talking to Brother Woodward, which we do every Sunday, just to encourage each other and have prayer together. And I said, "Tonight I'm going to talk about the election." He said, "Friday night," I can't give names, he said, "Friday night, I was downstate, and he has done business with a man. And the man is getting out of business, the particular business he's in, and he told Brother Woodward, he said, the next time you're here, stop in and talk to me. He sells a certain type of thing, and he wants to try to help get some things to people for good prices before he sells his business. Okay. Well, Brother Woodward was attending a surgery for a man in his church that he thought would be over at 3 o'clock. It lasted till 6. So he did not get by the man's office. He called the man. He said, I'm just leaving the hospital. And the man said, I'm still in my office. Come on over. So Brother Woodward went to the office. When he got there, they howdied for a minute. And he said, look, he said, my wife and my brother's wife are out shopping and doing some things. We were going to go to dinner together. Why don't you join us? Brother Woodward had dinner with this businessman and his brother, who was a cabinet member in Obama's first administration. This happened Friday night. He was a cabinet member in Obama's first administration. He said, we were continually interrupted by people coming over and talking to him. But in between, he said, of course, the election came up. And obviously, when the man worked under President Obama, he's a Democrat. He's liberal. He was in the cabinet. If you think a little bit and go back to his first administration, there was a man from Illinois who was a cabinet member in Obama's first administration. And he said, he told Brother Woodward, he said, I cannot stand Donald Trump. I cannot stand him. Then he said, but I'm telling you that if she wins, she will change, this is his quote, the annals of time in our country forever. And then he went on to say who he was going to vote for. People say, well, I'm going to vote my conscience. I understand. Somebody voted early. They told me, I held my nose and voted. Let me give you something to consider besides your conscience. What did y'all say? What did somebody say? Somebody said something that was funny. Huh? Somebody's phone? Went off. Okay. All right. So, while you're considering your conscience, please consider your children and your grandchildren and their future. One of those candidates is going to surround themselves with people who identify with that party platform. The other candidate is going to surround himself with people who identify with that party platform. And you know that the Supreme Court is at stake. You know that. My fear is not that people are going to vote liberal. Most Bible believers vote conservative. My fear is that folks are going to sit it out or write in a candidate that doesn't have a snowball's chance where it's hot to win. That's the truth. Because most of those write-in candidates get 1 or 2% of the vote. 1 or 2%. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In verse number 19. Moses said this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed and thy seed. Thy what? Seed. That's your future. That's your future. One of those party platforms is about as unbiblical as you can get. And the other one, even though people who lead the way are not saved, somehow, some way, biblical values have found their way into the platform. And I just ask you to consider that. I ask you to consider the wisdom of not voting or the lack of wisdom of not voting. I ask you to consider not only your conscience, but your seed and their seed and their seed. It's a critical year. It's a critical year. Now, let me say to all the kiddos, we've been to this same place before where we thought, oh my, the election was won by the liberal and our goose is cooked and our days are numbered and we're finished and God has given us days to serve Him. But I do believe this is a critical election. No doubt about it. We're not going to have an invitation. I don't think it's the time to have an invitation. I think we just need to be praying that God's will be done. And I don't think it's wrong to pray against the candidate that you don't want to see in there. Pray against him. Pray against him. Lord, keep him out. Okay? Father in heaven, we give this to you. We lay it at your feet. We are sorry. We are embarrassed. We are ashamed that we are in such a condition. We should never be here. We have wandered from your word. We have violated your commands. And suppose, Lord, that the Christian people are as guilty as any. And I pray that you will please lead the people who name you as their God and your Son as their Savior. Lead them to vote. And lead them to vote, Lord, along the lines of biblical values, looking beyond the personalities to the platform. And Father, we trust your will be done for our country, our children, our future. In Jesus' name, and amen.